from sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 231, where I'm joined once again by Deborah Scott for the second part of our chat, which I have just finished editing. This week, she is just carrying on with the rest of her story and sharing some tips and resources and things like that. You can, of course, find all those resources in this week's show notes, the link to which will be in the description below. It is very late on a Thursday evening, but I am determined to get this edit finished before I go to bed so that I can load it up and have it ready to be winging its way to you bright and early tomorrow morning. For once, bang on time. I have got a super busy week ahead, so heads up right now that there might be a delay or even an episode missed at the end of the week. I'm heading into the edit for Nadia's masterclass with TFM, Women and Fasting, and there's a great deal of work to be done. I just started it today, and there's a bit of a mountain to climb. I've also, of course, got all the usual editing to do. So it's going to be a long weekend and a long week. So it's a good thing, really, that I'm full of energy, or reasonably full of energy, from my fasting. Fasting's been going very well this week. I decided to mix things up a little bit. That's my rebel tendency, I think, coming to the fore. Every time I try and instill some kind of routine, it has to get its oar in a little bit. But no, really, it was just I was feeling good. I headed in, I think I told you last time, with the plan to sort of turn things up a notch and switch out that evening meal on my 24-hour fast days for just a little bowl of miso soup. And I did do that on Monday, and the plan was to go into Tuesday and have a full eating day. But Monday had gone so well. I'd been feeling full of energy and really focused and, you know, quite productive, got a lot of work done. So I thought, you know, actually, I could do with replicating this on Tuesday too. So let's see how we feel in the morning, but maybe just carry on. And so that's what I did. I did another day of fasting and then broke that fast in the evening with a meal as usual. So effectively, I kind of pretty well did a 48-hour fast with just that little bowl of miso soup in the middle, which is all of, I don't know, 30 calories or something crazy, not much at all. Surprisingly filling, I have to say. I found a really good one on Amazon. Little block of freeze-dried miso soup. It's got a couple of little bits of tofu, some spring onion, and some bits of seaweed. Really very delicious, very umami rich, and incredibly satisfying. I was surprised. I thought it might just sort of trigger all those taste buds and make me really hungry for a full meal, but in fact, it did the opposite. So I just went with it. And I then went in on Wednesday to a normal full day of eating, which for me is two meals. And I am now where, what did I say I was? It's late. Forgive me. It's very late at night. But yes, I decided to do the same again. So another sort of 48-hour fast. So I'm basically about halfway through that. And so I'll do the same again tomorrow, have a meal in the evening, and then a full weekend of eating days. And you know, that's just what has suited me this week. Next week, I don't know, I might switch back to the 3 24-hour fast with that miso soup at the end. Who knows? I'll see what my rebel tendency feels like doing. But this week has worked out really well, I have to say. So very pleased with progress. It is most certainly going in the right direction. The fasting method is very much rubbing off on me in a good way. What else has happened this week? Well, I had a lovely pod meetup. The person that I met up with called it a tripod, which did make me chuckle. I happened to meet, I can't remember whether I told you about this, but I bumped into somebody walking along the prom the other day coming back from my swim, and it was a lovely pod. And of course, I always have to stop and say hello when I see another Potenko. And we got chatting and I told them about the beach we like to go to, and we arranged to meet up, and that's what we did this morning and had a fabulous time. It was low tide, sun was shining, and three pods running around together. It was a lovely morning, so that was great fun. My two dogs took to Elsie, that's her name, very well. She's very similar to my two. She's a little bit bigger than Rocket, a little bit smaller than Amy, and a rough coated, but she's got the sticky up pointy ears just like Rocket. And they had a whale of a time and have been sleeping soundly all day, so it obviously wore them out. I will be back to my usual routine tomorrow. Hopefully the sun will still be shining and I'll go and get my morning dip. I'm looking forward to that because it's been a couple of days without a swim. What else? I think that's about it. Oh, I did have a very delicious delivery from Deliciously Guilt-Free. Nice big order of cakes. And it just goes to show how well my fasting is going because, well, handily, they arrived yesterday, so I was able to have some on my eating day. But they have been looking at me every time I have opened the fridge. So it just goes to show how well fasting has been going and how strong I've been feeling that I've been able to resist. But I'm very much looking forward to having some more tomorrow evening and again over the weekend. Some new flavours that I haven't tried before. So I got to try some of those yesterday and they are very, very delicious. If you are in the UK, I can heartily recommend giving Deliciously Guilt-Free cakes a try. They really are a very delicious treat, made with much love and care and good ingredients. What's not to like? So that's about it from me. I will leave you now with the rest of Deborah and I's chat, and I will see you on the other side with this week's end quote.
You know, I really do enjoy my food, and I probably have more variety now than I had before, to be honest. Like before, for my breakfast, I would just, because Kellogg's brothers told us that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, I would start off with a cereal, and it wouldn't, unfortunately, it wasn't just one cereal. It would be like a little bit of a cocktail. So I'd start off with my Crunchy Nut cornflakes and then my All Bran on top, and sometimes I'd slice a banana up. And then you've got your low-fat milk, because low-fat, I thought I was eating healthy. Keep it healthy. Low-fat and, you know, the rice, the pasta and the brown bread, all that. It was supposedly healthy, but little did I know what, impact it was having on me. So basically, started off with that for breakfast. And then you find you're hungry by mid-morning as well.
A bit sleepy, you know, maybe. That was the thing I found.
A bit sleepy.
A really long phase of having porridge, you know. And I went, the really healthy porridge. I had the steel-cut oats and soaked them overnight and did this and did that. And
yeah,
felt really great because I didn't put hardly any sugar on them. And, of course, it was brown sugar because that's better than white sugar.
Yes,
some cinnamon and things to sweeten it. And I'd have my porridge. And then mid-morning, it's like, oh, I'm feeling really, I could do with a nap.
Yeah.
Then you need a pick-me-up.
Or you feel like you need something else to perk you up, don't you? Exactly. A bar of chocolate, that'll do it, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so basically, that was my breakfast. I had bananas for the morning break and then a sandwich at lunchtime. So brown bread, ham salad, that's healthy, isn't it? You know, and then get in at night and it would always be something maybe with a jacket potato or rice or pasta. And of course, you've got your naan bread. If it's an Indian curry, your glass of wine, your peanuts. And by the time I added it all up, I was probably eating, I did add it up, 300 grams of carbohydrates a day. So that's all gone now. And I've never felt less hungry. You know what I mean? It's fabulous. And like I said, I have more variety. So for the morning, I might just have a coffee and cream, or I might have full fat Greek yogurt, maybe a couple of strawberries in there. I do like fatty fish. You know, I do like my mackerel in the morning, peppered mackerel particularly. And who doesn't like a fry up? So the bacon. Now then, sausage, that surprised me. I always went for Richmond sausage before my diagnosis. Well, little did I know that they're only 42% meat or something like that. And the rest, it's obviously, it's the, you know, the rubbish, I call it now. Now I go for the 97% meat. And you can actually do it cheap as well. You know, people think, oh, it's low carb and I'll never be able to do it. It's expensive. And I do tell people when we do the one-to-ones, do you know what? If you've got a slow cooker or you've got a pan for your oven, I'm not great in the kitchen. I just throw it all in. Good fresh ingredients, whatever meat you like, your chicken, a tin of tomatoes, a little bit of onion, mushrooms, the herbs that you like, and do that with maybe, you know, some cauliflower rice. And it's so tasty. So I probably have more variety now. That's what I was saying. Sorry, Daisy, I have to get carried away. More variety now than I've ever had before, really, because I was stuck to like cereals and a mixture of five different meals for my dinners. But now we've got Dr. Unwin's books. I always recommend his book. Absolutely fabulous. It's got loads of infographs in. I always recommend that to the patients as a starting point. And you know, we've got some great recipes in, great infographs, and it just tells you a little bit of exactly how your body is dealing with, you know, how the diabetes started, how you can deal with it, and how you can make yourself better, basically. And also just to give people hope. Hope is all people need, isn't it? Mm. The hope that yes, you can make yourself better, you know, with just a few changes to your diet. Food is better than any medicine. That's the way I look at it.
Yes, I think it's a bit of a myth that, you know, because you think if you're coming from that perspective of, as you were describing, that pretty typical carb-laden day, that frankly is, you know, is the way that lots and lots of people eat. Mm. And so thinking, when they're thinking about this big change and suddenly someone comes along and says to them, you know, you've got to take out pretty well all of those carbs, like, well, you know, what am I going to eat? And it's a bit of a myth that yes, you're replacing some of those on that plate, but you're not. So they're sort of thinking about, especially as that's always the health message, is the eat well plate and all the rest of it. But, you know, yes, a large proportion of that plate was taken up with carbs, but it's not actually a case of taking those carbs away and having to replace them with something else. This is what's weird about it, isn't it? You said, you know, you're eating more variety, but you're eating less.
Mm.
And you're just sort of taking the filler out. But the weird thing is, and the weird thing that you come to realize is that all that bulk, all that filler, just the nature of what it is, makes you more hungry for more filler, for more bulk.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, you don't need mostly to replace it.
No.
Yes, you need to, you know, you probably have a bit more of the, depending how much you're eating before, of course, but you're not eating a huge amount of protein. Yes, a bit more protein and a bit more veg, but you're not replacing it like for like with that massive pile of rice, for example.
No. And I also say to them, because the patients are quite, they all say, oh, what about the fats? You know, the cholesterol. And I do say, well, this was my cholesterol. It's optimal. And I've been eating this way for nearly 5 years now. I also say, I don't have massive amounts of fat. Yes, I have cheese and I have cream. I have a splash of cream in my coffee, a splash of cream when I'm doing my omelets, when I'm doing my vegetables. Like if I've got cabbage, I'll do buttered cabbage or put some butter on my sprouts. But I don't sit there eating fat from morning till night.
Just to make it tasty.
I think the patients think, oh, you know, I don't want to try this. Some of them have been apprehensive. But then when I just say, well, just make some changes, you know, and also sometimes there's more health issues going on as well. So, and I'm not trained. I always work with a diabetic nurse. You know, if there's any issues medication-wise, I will have a word with them. But I just say, this is what worked for me. Mm. And you've got to do what works for yourself. And sometimes it might be just maybe changing a little bit of what's on that plate and having less of one thing that's going to affect them and more of something else, you know, just moving it around a little bit. Mm. And also, a lot of people don't want to give up bread and they don't want to make their own either. And they can't afford to maybe to get it online, to get the more expensive ones. So it's a case of I've given them some options. Right, okay, if you can't give up bread, this slice here is equal to maybe 4 or 5 teaspoons of sugar, whereas this one here is probably just half a teaspoon. So already, if you're going to have 2 slices of bread in the morning, if you just have these 2 slices of bread, that's going to make a massive difference to your blood sugars. And that works for them as well. If they can still have a little bit of what they want, but maybe just adapt it a little bit to something that's better for them.
Yes, and swapping it out, you know, reducing the amount, like my dad talks to me about, he gets an annual health check and his blood sugars were starting to go up a bit. I mean, nothing really worrying, but just a concerning trend, you know. And the other thing you mentioned, cholesterol, and I think it's all about reducing the cholesterol, but there's that one type, there's the HDL cholesterol that actually, you know, you want to bump that up. A lot of people, that's too low. And a great way of doing that, of course, is with the healthy fats. And that was his problem. You know, his HDL was too low and his sugars were starting on the upward trend. And one of the things that he's always liked is he's always loved fruit and he had fruit with every meal, basically. Mm. And he didn't want to stop the fruit completely. But what he did find acceptable was to not have it with every meal and to reduce the amount a bit, and you know, maybe not every day. Mm. So not taking it out of his diet completely, and bumped up some of the fats that he likes, you know, he likes olive oil and things like that, and just bumped those up a bit, you know. And sure enough, got his HDL up a bit and his HbA1c coming back down to you know, not carrying on in that potentially worrying trend. But you know, as you were saying, and that's the beauty when you're working with, you know, the one in one, it's not a blanket policy, it's taking the individual, starting where they're at and working with them with changes, whether it's a big dramatic sweep which suits some people, or whether it's changing things a bit at a time which will suit somebody else.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
But that's great, isn't it? That's where with what you're doing, you can tailor it to work. Yeah.
Going back to the cholesterol thing, though, that's another thing that's quite annoying because they just look at the overall figure, you know, whatever it is, 5.8, mine was. But straight away, if it's over 5, they want to put you on statins. They don't care. Yeah. They don't look at anything else. It's, you know, you're type 2 diabetic, you're going to go on statins and metformin without even saying, maybe let's see about what you're eating, or let's have a breakdown of the cholesterol. Let's see exactly what's happening. I don't understand why they don't do that at
all.
That's
crazy. Yeah. I mean, your first question is, if someone is worried about cholesterol, okay, well, what's your A1C and what are your trigs doing? You look at those
two. Yeah, trigs. That's it.
In context. Yeah. And all of a sudden, well, that's not a worrying number at all. But no. Yeah, you're right. Straight away, it's uh-oh. And that's what my father was told with his latest annual health check, was they were trying to get him on statins.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, I said to him, look, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but this is what I think. And this is the contextual information that I can give you. And I think I recommended Asim Malhotra's latest book. And he read that. He really enjoyed reading that.
Oh, it's
he
brilliant.
Did his own research.
Yeah.
And he's, yeah, I don't want to take statins. And he's made that decision for himself.
Yeah, that's a good decision, I think. So basically, with the cholesterol, I think my last trigs were 0.5.
Get better than that.
And that's on a higher, healthy fat diet, you know, avocado, olives, olive oil, eggs, fatty fish, and everything's enjoyable, isn't it? I know it's healthy. I know I've got a lot more to learn as well, you know, about, I'd love to go on one of those nutritional courses, actually, and really get to the nitty gritty, but I can't fit it in at the moment.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, I know. But I'm learning from people like you, podcasts, And, you know, if you go for a little walk. Now, exercise is another thing as well. Exercising after you've eaten, that's great for bringing your blood sugars down. Not everybody can exercise. A lot of the patients at the surgery are not mobile, haven't been mobile for some time. So, you know, I always say to them, do you know what? It's not essential. It's what you eat that's really going to make the difference. But if you can, get out and maybe just do a little bit of walking. That's basically all I do. I just love walking in the park, on the promenade. We're very lucky with where we live, and getting our steps in. It lifts you straight away anyway, especially when it's sunshine. You get your vitamin D and, you know, it makes you feel better, doesn't it? And it does help with the blood sugars as well. So exercise can be beneficial. Obviously, sleep. Lack of sleep, that can put your blood sugars up as well, and illness and stress. Now, the last 2 years have been so stressful for people, and consequently, it's comfort eating, isn't it, as well? And my husband is a jeweller, and he's a working jeweller, so he makes alterations. He said he's never made so many rings bigger. He's done it for 40 years. And really? Yeah, so people are obviously, you know, struggling a lot. And it's people like you that are helping getting your podcasts out, you know, for people to listen to. It's brilliant. And thank you for doing everything you do as well, Daisy, you know, to take that opportunity to do that. And like you say, Asim Malhotra, love him. Dr. David Unwin, Dr. Ken Berry, his videos are great. There's a lot of inspirational doctors out there. And it's when you hear it from the doctors, especially when you hear it from a cardiologist, like Dr. Asim, then you think, do you know what? At the beginning, I was of the same mind. I thought, fats, you know, but obviously not a problem. I've never been healthier. So yeah, it works massively.
Yes, I think the beauty these days is there's so much out there on so many different platforms that there's going to be something that will interest you, will inspire you in a form that you like to absorb it, you know, whether that is listening to podcasts as you're out walking or watching something on YouTube or reading a book,
you know,
whatever it is. There's so much out there now, so many different ways to obtain that knowledge. And then, of course, get the support you need on, again, whichever platform it is, be it Facebook or the forums. I mean, you mentioned circling back to the start, diabetes.co.uk is absolutely fantastic, that support. And as you were saying, it's always there. You haven't got to wait for an appointment with a doctor, an appointment with the diabetic nurse to discuss it. It's there at your fingertips whenever you like.
And it's worldwide as well. You know, so it's 24/7. There's people from all over the world joining in. Another great website is Diet Doctor.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Great recipes, videos, information, infographs as well. So I think lots of visuals. So that's great.
Yes.
There's a brilliant Freshwell Surgery. They've got an amazing website. They've got like a low carb section, and they've actually produced an app. The app is simple to use. Freshwell Surgery, low carb app. Another book that I would recommend would be The Diabetes Code by Dr. Jason Fung. Amazing book. That was one of the first ones I read, actually. The 21-Day Immunity Plan is great from Dr. Asim Malhotra, because obviously at this time where we're, you know, in the midst of a pandemic, hopefully it's endemic now, to improve your immunity, that's a great book. And it's not too heavy either. So that's really good. Now, a video that I would highly recommend is from Dr. Sarah Holberg. And it's the TED Talk.
Yes, fabulous, isn't it?
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. And she puts it into, you know, terms that we can all understand. Yeah, so definitely there's so much out there. But it's, you know, it's somebody guiding you to these places, isn't it, as well?
Yes, and of course, once you watch one of them, you'll get recommendations for others. And before you know it, you'll have fallen down a really interesting rabbit hole or two.
And also, I must add, Fork in the Road,
yes,
Jen Unwin, because, you know, sugar cravings and sugar addiction, basically, it's great for that. So they would be my recommendations. If you were thinking about reading up more on it, they would be the recommendations that I would put forward.
Perfect. And to you listening at home, you don't have to remember all that. I will put a list in the show notes so you can just go there and find them there. You don't have to remember them all. So is there anything else that you wanted to get out there? Any other message? We are going to round up in a minute. Now, I intentionally didn't warn you about this because you have that slight nervous disposition, a bit like me.
And I know.
If I told you at the beginning, you'd worry about it. We do round off the show with a top tip. So I would love a top tip from you in a moment. But is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you wanted to say, you wanted to share, wanted to shout about?
It's just for everybody to be aware that carbohydrates turn to sugar. And I find big supermarkets websites, Tesco and Sainsbury's, are brilliant because not everybody knows, they're like me, I didn't know what a carb was. So it's total carbs. When you go and have a look just to see what's in your food, you can, before you go shopping, you can have a look, take your notes, and then it will give you a good idea. Like I said, with the sausages, what a difference from one pack of sausages to another. It's going to make a big, massive difference to your blood sugars. So that's a great resource if you wanted to look at your favorite foods, maybe see what you could swap them for, look at the carbohydrate total content, and then work out maybe meal plans for yourself. That, like I said, there is meal plans out there, Freshwell Surgery, Diet Doctor, and other places as well. Ditch the carbs. There's so many resources out there. I just want to give people hope, basically, that they can make themselves feel better, look better, lose weight, and you can come off medication as well. On my journey, like I said, at the little boxes in the forum members' signature panels, where they've been on a lot of medication.
I love that.
They've come on off the medication one by one, and even insulin, where you think you're on insulin for life. And probably the doctors and nurses probably tell you you're on insulin for life. Once you get to that stage, it doesn't have to be the case. Even if you were diagnosed last week, last month, or last century, you can actually make a difference. It doesn't matter how long you've been diabetic, how long you've been on that medication. As soon as you start lowering your carbohydrate, lowering the sugar that's going in, you don't need as much medication to deal with it because there's less sugar to deal with.
Less need for it.
You really need to work very closely. That's what I will add. Work very closely with your diabetic team if you're going to try the low carb or the keto way of eating, because your blood sugars will come down and your medication will need to be adjusted. So like I said, I'm not medically trained, but I will just say that's how it works.
Yes, that's key. And of course, as you illustrated, you know, these effects can happen really, really quickly. So
yes,
it is something that you have to really monitor quite closely when you're on medications, because
absolutely,
that potentially could put you into dangerous territory if you're not adjusting them as you go.
Definitely. So I always emphasize that. Yes, definitely.
Let's hear your top tip or top tips.
Well, I've just made some notes, actually. Basically, don't think you're alone. There are so many out there ready and willing to help. So reach out. Diabetes.co.uk forum. It's a great start. Like I said, 24/7. You can look in the background or you could join in, because apprehensive at the beginning, it's a whole new world.
Yes, that's the great thing, isn't it, about platforms like that. You can just tune in and earwig on other people's conversations and seeing what's going on and learn and build your confidence before you want to join in yourself.
Because you've got to remember, these people have just been diagnosed. They've probably nobody, and maybe nobody in the family that's been diagnosed. They feel so alone, scared, upset, devastated. And I felt angry with myself because I thought, I brought it on myself. I've let myself get fat, and you get this fat and lazy label, you know, so you feel ashamed as well, and all these different emotions going through your mind. So then suddenly you go onto a forum with like-minded people, and you're in the room with those people, you know, so you feel like a sense of relief straight away. So definitely reach out. That's my top tip. And also, you can do this. You just need to find your own way as well. Now, I found my way was low carb, keto, absolutely works for me perfectly. Everybody will find their own way. And it doesn't need to be progressive type 2 diabetes. And also, which I've just mentioned, actually, if you're on medication and thinking of starting low carb, you'll need to work with your diabetic team, as medication will no doubt need to be reduced. Drink plenty of water. Now, I did this at the beginning. I actually cut out alcohol for 5 months and I drank plenty of water. It does fill you up, but it's got lots of other health benefits as well. So just add a little bit of lemon, lots of ice. I think of it as like it's swilling out the rubbish as well. So that's really beneficial. And as I said before, a walk after you've eaten, that really does help with your blood sugars, bringing it down. And it makes you feel better, energized. And we're going into the summer now, so it's a great time to get out and about if you can. And that's really just a few little top tips. But my main one is that there is hope that you can get on top of this, or you can start to feel better if you're not feeling so good. What you eat can really make a difference.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you so much for sharing that story with others and helping them and benefiting them. And I wish you all the luck with all your new projects and all these different things you've got going on. I know you're working on, I think you mentioned earlier, you're working on this video you're making for YouTube. So we'll as these things come out, I will add them into the show notes later on as they become available. So yeah, whenever you're listening to this, you can always come back and check in with these resources at a later date. We'll just add to them as we get more.
Okay. The video that I'm working on, I'm hoping that it's going to be really beneficial for so many people. I'm hoping that the doctors and nurse diabetic teams might be able to use it up and down the country.
Good thing to share, yeah.
You know, because it's a lot of slides, it's a lot of visuals, it's what's going to work, what isn't, and why we end up diabetic and how we got into the boat and how we can get out of it. Lots of hints and tips, and it's about an hour long. So you can stop it and start it and have a cup of coffee. We can watch it in one go. But hopefully, like I said before, if it helps one person, I'm happy.
Perfect. And it's like you say, I think this is the conversation that I've had with so many people. It's not about forcing low carb keto down people's throats as a solution. It's just offering it as a possible solution. And hey, you know, why don't you look at this? This might be of interest to you. And just for doctors and the nurses to be offering it, you know, that's what's so sad often, that's what's so frustrating when it's not mentioned and people stumble across it on a forum, on Facebook, on whatever it is, and they're so frustrated, and the question is, why did nobody tell me this? Why didn't my doctor tell me this was an option?
The NHS website is starch, carbs, lots of fruit and veg, low fat, little meat. And when you follow the link to get more information on what to eat, it takes you to the Diabetes UK forum and their forum members straight away.
Yes, which is not the same.
Straight away, they say, just ignore the guidelines and just go low carb. Now, something's very, very wrong, isn't it? And that's the NHS. That's where it links you to. And they say, just avoid the guidelines. They won't do you any good. So something needs to change. And it's been the same since I was diagnosed, sadly. But low carb, on the other hand, is being endorsed as well. Nice guidelines. So they have included it. So we're getting there, but it needs a big, massive swing.
Well, yes, but it's, you know, it's bit by bit. It's people like you who show by example to the diabetic nurses that they're working with and then get invited to speak to other patients. So, you know, it is changing. It's just, yes, I get the frustration that it's not as fast as we would like it. But it's people like you who are making the change. So, you know, hats off to you.
Just doing my bit. Just trying to help.
yes, but, you know, take credit where credit's due. So thank you. And thank you very much, Deborah, for sharing your time with me today. It's been a very great pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Thank you for staying with me right to the very end. I've just reminded myself to mention the wonderful progress of the GoFundMe Legacy Fund that was set up by Nina Teicholz for Sarah Hallberg. I thought I'd have a quick look to see how it's doing, and it's breezed past $70,000. So that really is a fantastic legacy. She was, of course, mentioned in this episode, which we recorded before her passing. But it just goes to show, I think, I'm not sure how many people have mentioned her and her TEDx talk as that video that was the real catalyst for change and helped them turn their lives around. So what a fantastic tribute there, set up by Nina Teicholz. I'll put a link in the show notes if you haven't given already and you would like to do so. It's very easily done and a great way to say thank you. So now, of course, it's that time for this week's end quote. And I'm back with my very, very favorite, James Clear. I just read, before I started recording this, I read his newsletter for this week, and there was a great one, one of those ones that you like to reflect on. So thanks once again, James Clear, for this week's end quote. Remove the branches of a thorn bush today and you'll avoid a scrape this year. But next year, you'll face the same problem again. Remove the root of the bush today and the entire plant will die. Are you solving problems at the branch level or the root level? And I think about this on many levels because I do have a few brambles in my garden that indeed could be done with digging out at their roots rather than just snipping at them with secateurs because, of course, they do just keep coming back. So just like those brambles, I can think of quite a few other things that I need to get down to root level and dig them out. How about you? On that note, I will leave you. I do hope that you're heading into the most fantastic of weekends, and I will see you back here very soon. Hopefully, it will be same time, same place next week, but if not, I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. I do have a Mindset Matters episode recorded and ready to edit, so that will be the next one up. And who doesn't love an episode with Terry? They are always top of the favorite charts when I have a look at the stats. So until next time, please take very, very good care, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.